Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, iHeart Live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Don't forget to go to Google Play and download Bashani Radio app. We're talking about in and everything here live in New York City. You can listen to us on the go. This show is sponsored by Rashad Detailing, Terry Ingram Sr., Have Wheels Will Clean. Today, my listeners, I want to thank you for listening to all my broadcasts and taking these nuggets and living the best life that you can. But I am just so excited about this guest I have for you today. His name is Jesse Hamilton Jr. He is a rising star that has captivated audiences all over the world. When binding together in his club headlining in Europe with traditional theater and television credits in the U.S., it's easy to see how Jesse holds an audience right in the palm of his hands. Just wait till y'all hear his voice and you'll understand what that statement means. He brings a seasoned yet fresh, youthful energy to the stage with each and every performance. Now, his roles include the Tin Man from The Wiz, Jesse. Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
ma'am. You did not tell me you was. I'm going to get you. We'll talk about that later. He was Tin Man, y'all, from The Wiz. Do you hear me? Oh, my God. He was Simba from The Lion King. Jesse, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you, Jesse. He was Lamar from Godspell. Nakawa. Mm-hmm. Oh, from the Festival of the Lion King, people. Oh, my God. He was also Buddy Lomax from Tambourines to Glory. Jesse, you going to sing for us? Are you going to give me a little hit at the end?
Maybe
you got to give me a little hit
at
the end, okay?
A little touch at the end.
Yeah, a little touch at the end. Oh, my God. Jesse has also had the pleasure of sharing stage with Cher, Patti LaBelle, Jeffrey Osborne. Oh, my God. Here we go. The Clark sisters. Oh, my God. Christopher Reeve, 95 South, Lauryn Hill, and Busta Rhymes, to name a few. Jesse was also seen on MTV as a featured dancer, oh, my God, on the hit show My Sweet 16. His vocal styles range from R&B to rock, jazz to gospel, all right now, and, of course, never forgetting the classic standards. Jesse is able to rock with the young, coon with the old, and twist and shout with the baby boomers. Y'all hear that, my listeners?
And he, make sure they know that says croon, C-R-O-O-N.
Croon with the old people like me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm going to say, what kind of word does she say? Croon, like a crooner.
A crooner with the old folks like me, okay? So I can identify with you, Jesse. Okay, so he is continually upgrading his show and expanding his repertoire of music, patter, and dance. So as Jesse says, come croon with me.
Croon with me. Mm-hmm.
Croon with me. And his motto is, sing as if nobody's listening. That's how you make it, Jesse. Listener, this is Jesse Hamilton Jr. Thank you, Jesse, for taking out time of your busy schedule to do this interview with me today. Also, one question I have to ask you, Jesse, is what has been the lowest point in your life, and how has it propelled you to where you are today?
You know something? I would almost want to say this pandemic has been one of the lowest points. But ironically, backing up a few years ago to when my brother fell ill and how the family pulled together and having to deal with his circumstance and how that ended up affecting my life personally, financially, getting over that hurdle actually has made me have a tougher skin and be able to stand a little bit more firm throughout this pandemic. So I don't know how far in depth you want me to go about that particular situation back then, but I'm more than willing.
Okay, let's let my listeners hear it. That's what this is about.
So I spend about, pre-pandemic I should say, I would spend about 200 days a year on the road traveling, performing. A good portion of that time was on cruise ships. Now, a lot of people think of, when they think of a cruise ship performer, they just think of someone that lives on board and is part of a cast. That is not what I was doing. I was what is considered a, I am what is considered a headliner vocalist. Those are the acts that come into, they fly into a particular island or country, they get on board, they do their show one or two nights, and then they leave. And those are the people that are being paid substantially more because of their resume and what they're bringing to the table. So you have your standard, you know, performers on the ship, and then you have the person that fly on. So between that, some nightclubs, some of the condo circuits in South Florida, theater shows in between, stay quite busy, thank the Lord. Well, I was on the road, and I was on my way to Ireland. I was in Minneapolis Airport, and there was a storm, really bad weather, and I wasn't able to make the flight. So then they said, well, now you have these days off because you can't make a flight. And I said, you know what I'll do? I'll fly home to Philadelphia, where I'm, where I grew up, and I'll just visit the family. So I had a few days, and I flew home. My younger brother, I called him to tell him I was coming. He said, well, I am at the hospital.
Oh, no.
But I felt a little bad at work, so I went on to the hospital to see what's going on. But my brother is a very private person, and so he asked that my that I keep, you know, that to myself, and then he will share with my parents at a given time what's going on. Fair enough, because obviously sometimes when you go to the doctor, you don't have to stay. So it really wasn't my business to say much more. But that particular night, that was a Friday night, my dad was going to a bowling party for the church. They were raising money. I went to the bowling party, and my dad kept saying, it's strange that you're home visiting and your brother's not around. And I knew then it was going to be a problem. But my brother said, well, don't worry. As soon as I get out of here, I'll just come over and everything will be cool. Went home that Friday night, went to sleep. Woke up Saturday morning, and I had 10 to 20 missed calls on my cell phone. I checked the voicemail, and I had to call back to the hospital. The hospital had been calling, trying to contact me, and I couldn't understand why they were calling me. But I called back, and they said, Mr. Hamilton, you were on the list as a contact for your brother in case of emergency. Now, quick sidebar for anybody who has family members. Why in the world would you have your brother who travels 200 days a year around the world as your emergency contact? I would have been in Ireland. I would have never gotten that message.
Exactly.
So look how God works. You see what I'm saying? Because I would not have been there. So I said, well, okay, well, what's going on? They said, well, your brother had some trouble. He's still here. They said, well, we were trying to get in contact with you because we needed to get permission to intubate. Now, I want you to understand something. All I knew was my brother was having pain in his stomach. Now, all of a sudden, you're telling me you were calling to get permission to intubate. That something has happened here. And they end up telling me, long story short, my brother, what they call it, aspirated in his sleep, and began to go into cardiac arrest, and his body, his organs began to shut down, and they had to intubate him. Now imagine me trying to go downstairs to tell my mother in the morning that he's ill and that I didn't tell her the night before. Of course, how could I have known how sick he was? Turns out my brother ended up in a coma, which saved his life in the end because the body was able to, you know, shut itself down to start to heal itself. But he had a number of organ failures, and it was quite a long debacle.
Mm-hmm.
Believe this. My brother was in a coma for 3.5 weeks and woke up on Easter Sunday morning.
Stop.
And miracle, miracle, miracle. Now, during this time, of course, this has caused me to have to pull out of work, cut contracts, pull out of a show, reevaluate what I'm going to do with my life. And this whole thing went on, you know, even though he was in a coma for 3.5 weeks, as you, anyone who's ever been sick themselves or dealt with family members that have been ill, it's not over right then. You know, it becomes a long road back.
Mm-hmm.
And the financial hit to me having to pull out of work, the emotional hit to watching what it did not to just myself, but my watching my mother and father,
yes,
and their faith be tested, it just realigned some things in my life. Because what you think is important becomes so obsolete in such a time as that.
Right.
When you see your brother on life support and realize you were worried about what bill? You were worried about who was mad at you? Realigning your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up with another music director of mine, Mr. Chuck Pellier from Los Angeles. We wrote a song about my brother. It's called Rain is for the Faithful. And it's on my CD.
Right now.
And it speaks to, it's a story that I tell in the song about my grandmother when my brother and I were mad because we wanted to go fishing one day down here in Georgia. And it was raining outside. And my grandmother said, well, we can't go today because it's raining. And we were so angry. And she said, no, don't you get it? Rain is for the faithful. Like, this is going to come and wash all of the things that need to be washed away. Replenish the land, and tomorrow the sun will be shining, and you'll feel so much better. And the song speaks to, today's a hard day. This moment in time is a hard time. But rain is for the faithful.
That is
because when you look up tomorrow, you can thank God for the sun. S-O-N and S-U-N. And
right,
to have my brother still here today is a miracle on top of miracles. Bothered me for money. And I know it's a pretty long story, but it's poignant in such a time as this. When families are going through serious issues with what coronavirus has done to our country and how it has wreaked havoc on families, because all of us now either have been directly affected or indirectly. I don't think there's a household
mm-hmm.
in this country that you don't know of someone who's been affected. Because it's not just about your house. It might be the house down the street. It might be your job.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, some way you've been affected. And so that low point then, those are some deep body blows about my brother and then what it did to me in my career as well on the professional side. So that, I would say that's probably one of my lowest points because it was so far out of my control.
Now that's love right there, Jesse. You love your brother.
I do. And he loves me too.
Because who would, we're not talking about a job here, Jesse. We're talking about a career that you had to make the decision, you know, which is better, staying here with my brother, helping him go through his situation, or the dollars to pay my bills. Now, that right there is love. I've never seen love like that before.
And, well, you know what? I owe it all. This upbringing, my parents did that. Those values instilled, my grandparents did that. I feel like I've been blessed to be raised by a village. And that is important because even mm-hmm. when we don't agree, they still have me. They still have my back. You don't always agree. You just don't. But the question is, can you sit at the table and disagree but still have dinner together?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're living in a world right now where friendships, relationships are being ruined for
yes.
political choices and opinions, for religious opinions, for rants on social media. And I say, yes, times are tough, but I have to think back. I think about some of the stories my grandparents told and my parents told about the civil rights movement. People weren't mm-hmm. disagreeing at a table and then not speaking. But the thing was, they were at a table talking about it. And even if they did argue, it was a big argument, but it was right there face to face. Now what happens is we have people able to go online and be hidden and do it.
Right.
That's not it. If I can't say it to Linda face-to-face, then don't say it.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, passive-aggressive, because, you know, a lot of things can be anonymous. And some of the most horrible things are said. But I personally try to operate from a place of light and love. I don't always succeed, but I do my best.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this real quick. Just today, last night I was working on finalizing a video that I put together because I was supposed to be performing in Greensboro, North Carolina for a couple of weeks for a holiday show. But, of course, we can't do it, so that we're filming our things ahead of time and it's going to stream live, be posted live. And I ran to a store yesterday to print out some information about that and also do some errands for my mom, who thinks I'm her secretary at times.
I know the feeling, trust me.
You know what, though? It's probably the other way around when I really think about it, but I'm doing more of the legwork, the physical moving. So
right.
At some point yesterday, I dropped my flash drive, my USB drive.
Oh, no.
And it had a lot of my, you know, musical chart files, just nothing that would mean much to somebody else, not too much, but it's mine. It's important to me.
Exactly.
And I was so angry, and I went to bed angry last night because I couldn't find it. And I woke up first thing this morning and retraced all my steps, called every store that I was in, went back and walked the stores. Of course, I couldn't find it. And I was driving back home around 9:30 this morning, just angry. And then on the radio, one of the announcers says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Because I didn't have to wake up this morning. And I rolled down the car window, and I turned up my radio and listened to one of my favorite songs, and just in that, those 3.5 minutes, I said, I have too much to be grateful for. Even in the midst of the storm, I'm still going to give them thanks. And to be stressed out over a USB is ridiculous when it's already backed up on a hard drive.
Oh, Jesse.
But you know what it is? It's because it's mine. You don't want to think that somebody else can pick it up and be viewing your thing. And it's, like I said, it's cheap music
true.
And things on there. So it's nothing nefarious, but that's not the point. It belongs to me.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to then weigh your options here and go, wait a minute, now what's important? So we're back to where we started with this conversation. Because if you allow certain things to overwhelm you, you're in trouble. If you fall out over the flash drive, what you going to do when something big happens?
Right.
Come on now.
That's a fact there.
Perspective. Yeah. Well, that's it.
Oh, wow. Because on voting day, I was driving in was listening to the radio, right? So they was like, call in and, you know, has this election caused you any stress? And it just, it was mind-boggling to me that people were calling into my, yeah, this is stressing me out. And I'm like, why? This is not the first presidential election we've had. I personally, I don't see any difference in it. It's panned out the same way all the years I've been voting. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, so, but the only strange thing is about it is that we're in a pandemic doing this one, okay? So I'm like, okay, God, I thank you for not living in this world, just my physical, mentally, in the spiritual with you. So why do you people, but, you know, I had to remember, all people are not Christians, you know what I'm saying? So this is why they're stressing. Because when you're not in this world, just your physical body, you don't even care about what's going on in this world. You don't care about what's happening here because you're only here temporarily anyway.
I feel like when you don't complain about the litter on the road, but you don't recycle or clean up your yard.
Right.
So it starts with self. So when I see the election results coming in, do I react emotionally? At times I do, but also go back to this. I was there on the first day of voting in line.
Uh-huh.
I made my mark. I did what was due diligent of me. I wrote my congressman. I knew who was up and down the ballot. People don't even research. You ask them who the local congressman, man or woman, they don't even know.
That's so strange.
So don't make this be just the two men at the top fighting. You need to look down ballot at all that's affecting
exactly.
you right in your next door. Do you realize that they aren't the ones making the decision about whether or not your tax property, you know, the taxes go up for your property. If your son or daughter is pulled over and gets a ticket, who is the judge making those decisions? No one's looking at those things. You have to be cognizant of it. But I also have done something I don't think a lot of people do. Whenever a congressman, congresswoman, local or, you know, at the federal level, gets on television or local television and says anything about a current issue, it's especially, there are very few that are brand new. Everybody has a record somewhere.
Right.
I immediately listen to what the person has said under the current administration. Then I go back and research that same issue with that person during the last administration and see if the words being said today were the same words being spoken when it was someone different in power.
Mm-hmm.
Because that tells a lot about who you are. Like what you just said is, we are not of this world. Well, that means if you said that on Monday, that's what you should still be believing next Monday.
Trust me, it will.
Exactly, but you see what I mean? So if I say to you today, Linda, I do not believe in global warming. Never have, never will.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pull up a tape of me 5 years ago. We have got to fight global warming.
Right.
Then what you need to hear from me is, you need to hear me say, Linda, 5 years ago, I really believed it, but a lot of people came to me with other things, and now I'm not so sure anymore. I need to be able to see, because we do have the right to change our minds and grow. The problem is why we're changing our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, unfortunately, people in power that make decisions for us, they blow with the wind. It was not okay for the last administration to do that, but it's okay for the current administration to do that. And then once that administration changes, the next administration, you're back to what you said before. I don't like it again.
Exactly.
Now, of course, me as a performer, I steer far away from politics on stage. My show lasts about an hour to an hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes two and a half hours, if you're willing to pay for it.
I And,
and what I pride my show on, people from so many different backgrounds. I could have a young black girl and an old white grandma be standing and clapping and dancing and singing together through the music, uniting us, not just always pointing out the differences. And for those few hours, people are taken away to another place, and they are sitting next to people and enjoying with people that they probably would not even hold a conversation with in other times. And that is where I believe my gift is. I believe my gift is in the song. I believe my gift is in the delivery of the music. And we need a lot more love in this world. So much more. Even the way I met you is through love. Did I lose you? Go away. Maybe you can hear me, because I can't hear you. Hello out there in radio land. I've lost Linda. Oh, Linda.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stan, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.